from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Ooh, this is your 24-ish hour warning. Welcome to Locked On Chiefs. This draft is about to get started. As I'm recording this Wednesday afternoon, we are about 26 hours out. By the time you hear this tonight or tomorrow morning on your commute on Thursday morning, this should get you ready. A couple of developments. Obviously, you heard about the Frank Clark trade. Go back and check out yesterday's show. If not, Tyreek Hill is not getting charged from his issue off field. Not going to talk a lot about that because we really don't know anything else. It seems as though it's concluded. Don't know if there's going to be NFL discipline or Chiefs discipline or anything like that. But both those factors are a little bit tied into our first segment today. I am going to go over the day three draft board, pick and choose, and give you guys some ideas. But to start, we're going to get with Matt Derrick. And we recorded this piece, and right in the middle of it, the Frank Clark trade happened. So take that with a grain of salt. But we want to see if Matt's view from being in such close proximity to the Chiefs leadership, if his view is a little bit different than ours. So we're going to start with Matt and go from there. So here's our first segment with Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest. Make sure if you want the Athletic Matrix Guide, last day, it's on sale. Use the code LOCKEDON and go to rogueapc.com and grab that so you have it to follow along with, as well as my big board that I'm going to talk about later, and that's over at Chiefs Digest. Here is Matt Derrick. So to kick off the festivities about how this could go down, we're going to put Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest on the spot. You've read all of his stuff. The draft board's over at his site, as well as all of his insight. Matt, how are you?
I am doing pretty well, Ryan. How about yourself?
Oh, it's almost over, right?
It's almost over. We're almost there. I was just talking to someone earlier today. Draft is great. It's really a lot of fun. And by the time you get to draft night, it's amazing. By Saturday, I will want this thing to be over.
Right? Yeah. It's beer cracking time is what I call it.
Get me to about 10 a.m. Saturday, and I'm just going to be counting down the minutes.
Right? Well, as we count down, it makes it easy because we're going to put you in the position that there is no Brett Veach. You might have to tip your hat a little bit to Andy Reid, but imagine you're the GM, you're running the show. And as we started this conversation, the Chiefs didn't have Frank Clark. And as we're recording, that trade came through, everything blew up. So we're going to skip ahead a little bit. So Matt, let's start with, let's look at day two post Frank Clark. Okay. So you get an impact player that you're looking for, and now you're resetting the board for day two. And you know that you've got depth that you need at other positions. Do you have a certain priority? Are you sticking to the board in terms of your overall grade on a guy? Or are you trying to pick and choose a little bit about what you want to add for the second and third rounds?
Well, one, you are sticking to the board. But two, that does change what you do as far as, you know, whether you sit tight or you get aggressive. Now, I think in the second round, you do look at corner, you look at safety. I don't know how much value there's going to be a defensive line and edge in the second round. Maybe there's someone who falls into the top of the second, and now you can start working those draft picks that you've got. You got eight picks. You got two second round selections. If somebody drops, you could certainly make a move and get up into early into the second round. It's not going to cost you that much. But it's what falls there. I mean, if a Garrett Bradbury falls at the beginning of the second round and I'm the Chiefs, I jump all over that in a heartbeat. If there's a center like that, that's still sitting over there at the beginning of the second round. If there's a corner that's, you know, I think there's some depth there. The only thing I would really be surprised if the Chiefs did in the second round where it gets kind of dicey, because the one position that Brett Veach told us that he thought was really thin was safety. And maybe that's a dodge. Maybe that's he's just trying to throw people off the scent. But if you take that, you know, for that belief, you know, safety is a position that I think if the Chiefs don't get one of the top three or four guys off the board, it's probably a position they don't look at. If it's true that they really think that position is that weak, but I know that they think there's a lot of value there at corner. Tight end is another good position. I think you should be looking at maybe that's a second or third round position. Wide receiver, they do think is a really thick spot, especially in the middle of the draft. So if you don't get a wide out in the first round, there's going to be a ton in the third and fourth round that they like that they would jump on in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I like that as well. And I'm looking for him to make another one between 40 and 45. And I think that's exactly what you're talking, moving around to get the guys that fit what you think. And I agree with you. I think that 32 to 45 range is going to be full of safeties that they're going to want. And I think that's kind of where I'm leaning. But anything that you think needs to be taken care of before they're able to do that? Is there any overriding philosophy that they have to pay attention to given their current roster?
No, I think the only thing that they really need to guard against is letting any the distractions that they have going on right now affecting their board. And the big one right there is Tyreek Hill. I mean, to me, you approach the wide receiver position without even regarding, you know, what is going on with Hill's life right now and the situation there. I say you treat it as just as it is on paper, which is Tyreek Hill is a free agent after 2019. You don't know if you're going to have him in 2020. If you have him in 2019, that's whether you have him or not, I don't think that can affect your board. I mean, to me, that's just like if you have a guy has an injury in training camp, you deal with it when you know what that situation is. You upend your draft board for that at this late in the game. I think you're just putting yourself in a world of hurt and having a chance to just really, you know, throw your entire board into chaos. To me, you stick with what your plan was from the very beginning and you approach it just that way. Like I said, Tyreek Hill, free agent next year. Sammy Watkins might not be on your team in 2020. If you decide to move on, you've got to approach it that way. And to me, that's how you've got to set this board, and you do have to stay committed to that. The Chiefs are going to be aggressive. I don't think there's any doubt. Brett Veach has to be himself. That's what he is. So to me, that's what it is. Stay the course with what your plan was from the beginning. Don't let anything else affect that. And be yourself. I mean, if moving up in the first, moving up in the second is what feels right to him, that's what Veach should do.
Well, I completely agree with you. I think disciplined aggression is what we're going to see. And I'm interested to see the transition into the second year. So I'm excited. It's almost time to kick that off. Thanks for giving us your take on everything. And we'll just see how it all rolls out.
Yeah, you will probably find out that everything I said was just completely wrong.
You never know. We're going to have a blast. You never know. Thanks for being with us, and we'll check in with you after the draft.
Sounds great. We'll do it then.
We'll take our break here. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about the day three guys, the bulk of where the selections are going to come. The Athletic Matrix Draft Guide from Rogue Analytics is available now, and we've got a special discount code for our listeners. At checkout, enter the code LOCKEDON to get your discount. Go to rogueapc.com, that's rogueapc.com, and get the Athletic Matrix Draft Guide for the 2019 NFL Draft. So we're going to dig into the board, and if you need to get it, it is available over at chiefsdigest.com. The post is up there for the 2019 draft board. It's downloadable in PDF. You can blow it up as big as you want or whatever. There's also an image graphic that isn't quite as high resolution, but you can give that a shot too. And that's what we're going to be working off of here. The Frank Clark trade, quite honestly, kind of reset the board for everyone. So Chris and Seth are kind of rethinking all of their thoughts. What we had recorded to put here for you has gone by the wayside because it was mostly focused on that number 29 pick. So what I wanted to do is, you heard earlier this week about the second and third round prospects. And I have quite a bit there. I have over, 73 players in the second and third round. So that is a ton. It's very thick. That day in particular is the area to get picks. The Chiefs still have three at 61, 63, and 84 now. So they're in good shape. But because there's so much girth in the number of prospects that right in there in the second and third round, it's pushing some guys into the fourth and even more into the fifth. So I still have 74 plus in the fourth and fifth rounds, whereas most years that would drop off rather dramatically. So we have a bunch to go through. No way I can cover all of them. So if you're following along and you have it out in front of you, open up the draft guide. If not, go download that after you hear this. And we're just going to go through some. Starting with the quarterbacks on day three, I'm not really too impressed. I think it's kind of a crapshoot at this point. You can see developmental traits in a bunch of them. Easton Stick and Trace McSorley are both fairly athletic. Tyree Jackson's enormous and has a gun, but he's raw as the day is long. And Jake Browning's just kind of, you know, a classic UW quarterback that's going to struggle in the league, but you never know if it'll pay off. So, there's your quarterbacks. Now, along the O-line, there's a number of very athletic guys and a number that I think could fill in for the Chiefs. And I'm aiming at the Chiefs being really in on looking for a swing tackle. a guy that if they choose not to pay Eric Fisher in the future could take over that spot, or in the meantime for injury to Fisher, or I can't see this happening in Mitch Schwartz because he hasn't missed a snap and I don't know how long. But just in case, a swing tackle's the type that I think you would look for because they have like 17 guards on the roster. So I think they're set at guard. No matter what flavor of guard you like, there's one on this roster. So looking down this list, I think you get Sua Peta can play probably both tackle or guard. Bobby Evans is a tackle that I think is undervalued and will go in the mid to late fourth. The Chiefs don't have a pick there yet, but they certainly could. And two guys that I like in the fifth, maybe even sliding into the fifth round, are going to be William Sweet from North Carolina and Chuma Adoga from USC. Two guys that I think could play multiple positions along the front, but definitely can fill in at swing tackle tomorrow. And I think that between athleticism and knowledge and understanding pass sets, they can get by. They're both a little underpowered, both need some development. That's why they're going on day three, but I think they're worth the investment. And my dark horse at the O-line position is going to be Max Sharping out of Northern Illinois, a program that has had its ups and downs, but has produced a few NFL players, and a guy that I think is athleticism helps him, but also has a nice shell about his nasty streak, about the way he goes about his business at that level. It's going to be about the jump to the NFL for him. Looking at the running backs, this is where I have most of them because they just weren't much value up in days one and two. Justice Hill and Devin Singletary, two guys that I think are going to go in the fourth that really have a lot of experience and upside. Miles Gaskin is a guy that I think will be late in the fourth that has a lot of durability, and he is a crafty runner and very good out of the backfield as well, catching passes, but he's way undersized. I like the guy, but I'm just not sure if the NFL is going to. And I think the guys, well, multiple guys. In the fourth, I think a guy you might see come off the board fairly early on day three is James Williams, and he catches the ball like nobody's business. He played at Wazoo where they throw the ball every 5 seconds. Andre Dillard was his left tackle. He didn't get a lot of carries in retrospect. Over, I think it was 51% of his yards came in the passing game, but he is a guy that is slippery between the tackles, can hit the edge in the zone. He's tailor-made to be a third down back in the Chiefs system. And if you want to not have to go big when you have to go into relief for Damian Williams, or if he's has to miss any time, I think James Williams is a nice addition to this running back committee that the Chiefs should really, really look at. Beyond that, Alex Barnes out of K-State is a nice downhill runner that's a little bit more shifty than you expect. Bryce loves the big gamble. I think he goes somewhere in the fifth. I don't think he falls all the way to the sixth, but he could. That injury history with his knee is going to be troublesome. It's still stiff, and so he may be falling off of boards all the way around. The two sleepers I have are Jalen Moore out of App State and Alex Mattison out of Boise, two guys that are, I think, are going to be six-round picks that are really going to help somebody. Now, the wide receivers are, there's a ton of them. In fact, looking at the board, there are more wide receivers that I have draftable grades on than any other position in this draft. And the list is long. In the fourth round, Andy Isabella is at the top of the list. I like Jalen Hurd in there. Darius Slayton out of Auburn hasn't had much press, but I like the way he plays. Same thing with Travis Fulgham. I think Emmanuel Hall is a Mizzou guy that a lot of you know fairly well. It's just his injury history. I have a medical red flag on him on this board, and that's the only reason he fell into the fourth. Otherwise, he would have been a day two guy. I think if teams are comfortable with him, he's definitely somebody to look at. And then further down, one of the guys that I think is a sleeper is kind of a big body guy, but he moves really well in Keyshawn Johnson. And I don't know if he can hold up, but I like what Hunter Renfrow can do from Clemson. Don't spend a lot of draft capital. Don't put bets on him, but I think he can get something done for you. So I would like to see that. I don't know. I think the biggest gamble is going to be Penny Hart because I just don't know if he's going to be able to pull off the transition to the NFL. But if Albert Wilson can do it, maybe he can too. I think a late round flyer is probably fine for him. It's not a lot to invest. And the tight ends, I think you can get a good tight end on day three. I think there's enough depth that if you miss out on Sternberger and Moreau and Irv Smith and all that, I think there's a couple of guys. Moreau's probably my top. That'd be day two. I think Kahale Waring is going to go probably fourth, maybe a little bit lower. The guy that I really like that I think is underdeveloped and has a chance to really become something is Josh Oliver out of San Jose State. somebody to keep an eye on there. Drew Sample from UW is another guy that is a great blocker and actually showed really good hands at the Senior Bowl. So I think he's been underutilized as a pass catcher, but that doesn't mean he can't do it. So I like him in the fifth, maybe sixth. And the long shot is Trevin Wesco out of West Virginia, who I think can play all over the place. He could be a tight end that goes H and could even line up in the backfield if you needed him to. I like how nasty he is, and a lot of folks are looking for him. So he is my dark horse at tight end. And that's the offensive side of the ball. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll talk about the defensive day three guys. We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time and keep it locked on, Chiefs. All right. This is where the rubber hits the road, and the Chiefs got to get some of these players that we're about to talk about, because the defense still needs help. Frank Clark, Bashaud Breeland, good acquisitions. All the other DNs, you know, all 14 of them or whatever, they're going to have a nice rotation there. And hopefully, other than Frank, somebody else can get something done. But there are plenty of other places they need to go. We talked about safety and corner are going to be high priorities in day two. So at day three, you're looking at getting depth at those positions, as well as looking at depth at edge. And more importantly, up front, interior defensive line, and most importantly, linebacker, because there's some athletes to be had here that maybe aren't all-around players that you can get early in the draft, but they can play certain roles and come in a lot of relief to try to help you. And I think if you can bolster the bottom 10 in your 53, that's going to help this defense overall, not just in 2019, but in 2020 and 2021. So let's dig into it. One guy that played well in college that just didn't test well and it's having trouble projecting him is Isaiah Buggs. Played on the outside a lot at Alabama, but I think he moves inside to a three tech, and I think he could still be productive there from that three tech. Big dude. He's right lined up next to Daniel Weiss, the lone Jayhawk on this list. So rock chalk. I think he can move inside as well, play a five, play a three. He can do some work on the interior where it's a little bit more dangerous. The guy that I think is a sleeper, and he's had a rough road. He has not performed well in college. Big-time recruit that just never put it all together, but he's got the tools. At the Senior Bowl, he showed up a couple of different times when he got the chance to compete. And, you know, maybe it's a mental thing. Maybe it's just an opportunity thing. But if he can put it all together, I think Byron Cowher can be somebody in the fourth or fifth round that can really help you, give you solid depth and rotation. So he's somebody to look at. Kiki Kingsley, Kevin Givens, I think are day three guys as well that can bolster you some, much like Hamilton does currently for the Chiefs roster, and give you a little bit to look at. Now, on the edge, you can never have enough of them. I think we're seeing that right now. I think Charles Omenihu is overrated. I think he might fall into the fourth, but hey, it's touch and go. I don't know if that's a dead giveaway. I think DeAndre Walker will be there from Georgia if you really want him. John Comiskey's a small school guy that's interesting. Christian Miller, I have a medical red flag on him. He did not play much at Alabama, but he played at Alabama, and he's got some athleticism to him. Very interesting guy. My dark horse was going to be Porter Gostin, but he came up with a positive PED test, so he's going to drop out of the draft. He might be a priority UDFA. So now my dark horse is going to be Jerry Green out of Mississippi State, the other pass rusher. Probably a late sixth kind of guy, right where the Chiefs have picks. So keep an eye out for him. Now, the corners, they're deep. When they get to day four, you know, assuming that they've taken one, which I do expect, you still want to get some more depth. They could carry six. I have no problem with that. And there's a lot of names here. One of the guys that's most productive, I think, will go around the top of the fourth, maybe into the mid-fourth, and Jimmy Moreland from James Madison, great player on the ball, and I think he can really put out a lot of work. Kendall Sheffield's interesting. I don't know if I'm totally sold on him, but Marvell Tell is a guy in the fifth that I think will probably work out pretty well. You have Mark Fields, who had a lot of ups and downs at Clemson, but definitely has the athleticism and the instincts to play. I think he's going to be a low fifth, high sixth kind of guy. And the two guys that I like late in the draft, because I think they can fill a role, are Jordan Miller from UW and Chris Westry from Kentucky, that I think is a little bit out of place and kind of a tweener. But I think because of his familiarity with Matt House, the Chiefs inside linebacker coach, I think he's really going to pay off. Likewise, at the linebacker positions, you have a lot of guys that have athleticism. And Blake Cashman, Jermaine Pratt are two guys in the fourth. That's where I have them rated. That maybe they'll go above that. They're right towards the top of the fourth, so they could sneak into the third. But I think they both have the athleticism to play defense, and that could really, really help out this team. But they are not alone. If you want somebody that's well-rounded, there's Cody Barton out of Utah that can play the game pretty well. And the guy that is my big sleeper from North Carolina, the best athlete at the linebacker group in this class, has instincts in the pass game. He's a little light against the run, but Cole Holcomb is a name to keep an eye on late in rounds. I don't know. Could be late fifth, definitely in the sixth. He is a guy to look at. And to finish up at the safety position, there are still a number of guys on the board that I think can give you depth, compete with the Lucases that are on the roster, and you may find somebody that is able to develop and actually improve the depth at safety. Top of the list for me, trying to play, lean towards the free safety still, is going to be Marquise Blair out of Utah, a guy that I think gives up a couple of plays, has some false steps, but he really, really competes, and I like what he brings to the table, as well as Will Harris out of Boston College. The two guys that I like best are probably going to be fifth rounders, and Saquon Hampton out of Rutgers, great player on the ball, is productive in PBUs and interceptions, and that's top of my list. And then this guy who's really, really under the radar out of Miami, Sheldrick Redwine. I think he's a guy that can help in depth-wise, certainly in special teams, and is somebody that can come in, and when you need him to make a play, I think he's somebody that may be able to develop into a guy that you can trust to do that. So there are plenty of players out there. Take a look at the board, get it from Chiefs Digest, and tell me what you think. Hit me at Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter, or hit the Locked On Chiefs account on Twitter, because that's where we do a lot of our communication. And that way Chris can help answer some of these, because he'll have different takes than I will. So I appreciate you guys listening. I hope you're as excited about the draft as I am. Thank you for all of your support over on RGR, as well as the Athletic Matrix from Rogue Analytics. You guys have been great. It's been a banner year for me, and I really owe it to all of you listeners. So thank you very much. I hope you have a great time. We're going to be back. We will do wrap-ups even on day one. Even if the Chiefs don't pick, we will still have a wrap-up pod, and we will cover each of the days of the draft as they finish up. So thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you next time.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.